This is Ricey. You've been hearing my friend Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk, for years on the radio and Garage Logic podcast. I strongly recommend you sit down with Josh for your no-cost, no-obligation, 48-minute consultation on your investments, including your IRA and 401k. You can benefit from Josh's years of experience navigating different market and economic conditions, and he'll always give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Give Josh a call now at 952-925-5608 to book your no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation. That's 952-925-5608. You'll be glad that you did, and tell him Ricey sent you. Don't forget to ask, why is it 48 minutes, Josh?
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Ricey is a paid endorser.
Ricey Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk. What a night last night. You had the Vikings wind up getting a quarterback that they love without trading their other first round pick. Then they move back up for one of the best defensive players in the draft. And the Falcons threw a wrench into everything, drafting Michael Penix. So where do you want to start here, Pat?
Oh, I could start anywhere, but I got to ask you there. I guess I could start with Penix. How long do you, once you sign a draft choice, can you trade him? Can you trade him? Are they doing the work of somebody else here and they couldn't finalize the details as they were going through the draft? So he's, they're going to trade him to somebody down there later. After they worked out,
they reportedly had Penix as the second best quarterback on their board.
Yeah, but so who cares? You just signed the other guy for 4 years. You got him for at least two or three.
Did you see the post game, the post press conferences where they're talking about how this is the Green Bay plan, how he can sit for 4 or 5 years, which would be his entire first contract?
Yeah,
it's marvelous.
And if you're Penix, you're going to say, okay, what kind of a contract am I going to, what's my second contract going to look like if I never play? Yeah. You know, yeah.
He turns 24 in like a week.
Yeah, so, that's right. It's unbelievable.
Maybe 30 years old.
Did you hear that stumble bum Fontenot trying to explain it afterwards too? He was making up crap as he went along, and the owner was mad, and plus, you just got this guy. We're going to the Super Bowl. Go get a player. Go get somebody who can block for him.
Yeah.
For goodness sakes.
I mean, they could have drafted like one of these receivers. They could have had Rome Odunze, right? They could have had a top receiver, or they could have drafted a lot of the mocks had Dallas Turner, the edge rusher the Vikings wound up getting, going to the Falcons at 8. So
here's the whole thing is, not only did you sign Kirk, Kirk's getting you fined and losing draft choices for shooting off his mouth. You're tied at the hip to him. And then you do this. What the hell is, I mean, some of these guys just really try to outsmart themselves, don't they? I mean, what, unless you're going to trade him to somebody, unless Kirk's going to get hurt, and he's going to play 8 games, and then everybody's going to be hot and bothered and want to give you a number one draft choices next year, but you're picking 8th already.
Are they super concerned about the Achilles?
Well, they should have been super concerned
before they signed him.
The trainer felt it out before he was supposed to,
right?
So the question is, when did they, at some point in the last 3 months, and the Kirk Cousins signing was at the halfway point of the draft season, right? It was like you had March 15th or whatever. You already had the combine and that part of the process. And then I'm sure there was the one-on-one meetings with the draft prospects after free agency. At what point did the Falcons decide, whoa, we love Michael Penix, this is great? Because if it was before they signed Kirk Cousins, then why would you sign Kirk Cousins?
Yes, that's
and
true.
If it was after you signed Kirk Cousins, that I don't know. The whole thing is bizarre, but
it's not our problem anymore. No, it's not our problem here anymore. But it's beyond belief that you can talk yourself into doing something like that. You know, at some point, you got to say to yourself, you know, I really like this guy, but you know how stupid this is going to make me look? You can't just embrace stupidity, okay?
Yeah.
And that's unbelievable. Now, let me go to my deep study of college football this year, okay? I might have watched 100 plays total, okay? And 40 of them were in a Alabama game, and I can't even remember which game it was. But my one impression of college football this season was seeing 40 plays of an Alabama game and saying, they can't block this guy. This guy's an animal. Yeah. He's unbelievable, and that's the guy they ended up with. I would have been drafting him first ahead of all the quarterbacks. So it's a the first 14 were offensive players, right?
Yeah, crazy.
No interest in
nine offensive linemen in the first round.
Yeah, but this guy is a monster. He's something. Now, he's going to get himself some 15-yarders. There's no doubt about it. He's a little after-the-whistle guy, but, man.
They call that playing through the echo of the whistle, Pat.
Yes, yeah, well, as long as the echo is not stopped, maybe you can get away with it. But with the hundreds of ways they're coming up with now that you can't tackle a person, I would worry a little about the penalties, but, man, is he a monster.
That's why defensive guys fell, though, too? Because the priority is now so much on offense as far as the league goes. I think it's become tougher to take defensive guys because of the fact that they get penalized for breathing.
Yes, but the only way you can compete defensively, as I keep saying this, is get after the quarterback. Make him bad. And this guy's better than Hunter right now.
Oh.
Not tomorrow, right now.
Looks like Pat just walked over to the Northern Fire Barbecue Hot Takes desk at the Fillmore.
Yes, right. Yes, I did.
Wow.
He's better than Danielle Hunter right now. He doesn't have the, he doesn't have the wear and tear on him. He doesn't have the, the history of missing 12 out of a 16-game schedule, 17-game schedule. He's, I had a hard time writing that column last week about how smart they were in the offseason. Well, yesterday, the same thing. But then again, if we could have had Rick, think of all the choices we've had today. Saturday, we'd be just sitting on the edge of our couch waiting to see those 3 fifth-rounders, 4 sixth-rounders, and 7 seventh-rounders. Who wants studs when you can have all those draft choices?
That's my favorite part about just waking up this morning, and I don't know, the Twitter algorithm just fed me all of the draft value chart nerds are up in arms this morning of, well, how could the Vikings gave up the equivalent of a mid-first-round pick if you add up all the mid-round picks? It's like, if they found a franchise quarterback and a stud edge rusher.
Yes.
But I know, but like, you gave up too much value on the draft value chart.
Yes. I wanted to find the guy who invented the draft value. Now, where was Michael Penix on the draft value part? Does the draft value chart take into account that you just gave $100 million to
him? No,
it does not.
It does not. See,
some of the draft value chart has to be based on who you're going to be playing with on the team, doesn't it? Doesn't some of that have to be
Do you guys think that Arthur Blank pushed for Kirk and that the executives and that the executives said, okay, that's fine, Art, but you're going to be dead pretty soon.
Yeah, but you know what else?
Ilitch. It's Mike Ilitch.
Do you think Fontenot is going to get the opening day? I bet he doesn't get the opening day.
Oh, wow. We have a Panther situation here? The owner just starts firing everyone?
Yeah, Arthur's, they showed the conversation between them. But Schefter's coming on, 5 minutes beforehand to say they might draft a quarterback. That's the 10-minute snippet I watched of draft coverage last night, including Schefter saying they're going to draft a quarterback. And yet Arthur Blank looked like he didn't know that they were going to make this draft choice.
If they went rogue and didn't tell Arthur Blank, that would be amazing. That Judd might be onto something. It felt like, and there are some reports that are, because there was that one report before free agency that Arthur Blank was telling the front office, do whatever it takes to get Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. And so is this what their way of saying, all right, well, we'll do whatever it takes. By the way, Pat, we had one of our listeners, Evan from Atlanta, has made it to, he flies in, huge Vikings fan, and he's made it now to all three of our draft parties. Mm-hmm. And he does some work in and around the Atlanta airport. And he says he runs into thousands of Falcons fans every single week. He hasn't met one that's over the moon about Kirk Cousins. So the vibe, the Kirk Cousins vibe in Atlanta is very dull right now.
Apparently, one of the guys he met was Terry Fontenot, you know, yeah, at the airport. He wasn't over the moon about the guy. It's unbelievable. But anyway, the best Vikings draft since 67.
Wow.
When you got about seven of these guys, and who cares? Gets to, they don't have a pick today, right?
Not yet. They could maybe sneak back in, but yeah.
Yeah, and they don't have a, yeah. And then who else did they give up to move up and get Turner? What else? They give up a fourth, too? Do they have a fourth?
Well, and they give up a couple of picks for next year as well. I think right now they have, without the compensatory picks, I think right now they have three picks for 2025.
Yeah, but they have a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have three left from 2025?
Yeah. That's a first and then a couple of later
That's
picks.
Why the draft nerds are very upset that they don't
have. That's one of the reasons.
Because if you look at the value, if you do the math on the value charts.
Well, how did your crowd take it when they got JJ? Very happy, I suppose.
Oh, man.
It was electric. It was electric. It was
so
great.
He's gone from the guy who was with the cheating Michigan Wolverines who only won because they were stealing the other team's offensive plays.
Scouting, yeah.
Scouting to, man alive, we got the number one quarterback in the draft. So,
did you see who J.J. McCarthy had to decline a call from when talking to the Twin Cities Press?
Ooh.
Wayne Gretzky. J.J. McCarthy is a former hockey star in Michigan.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, he was on the Zoom call, but he was taking it from his phone with the local reporters, mm-hmm. and he was answering a question, you know, in a very nice way. And then you could tell something popped up on his phone. He goes,
it was just like you.
He goes, it's Wayne Gretzky. Sorry, Wayne.
It was just like you when you're doing your hit with us and a call comes in and you disappear for a second and then you hop back on.
It's Wayne Gretzky. Yeah, but I've never had to reject Wayne Gretzky. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't either.
Usually it's somebody trying to sucker a senior citizen into doing something.
That's called a reverse mortgage, Pat. Let me tell you something. Yeah.
Just give me your social security number and we can get going.
Big Lou is on the phone to give you life insurance here.
It's Life Alert. LifeAlert.com.
Yes, right.
Big Lou's That's just like you, is. Only he's on wife too.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's, it's a great draft to cover if you're a reporter in town. I mean, you got two guys. Are they going to have them both in here today? I would imagine.
Yep. Huh? 2:00.
Okay.
You're going to have them both in here today, and then you don't have to do anything today. That's all you got to do. You don't have to sit around and wait for draft choices. And then, so what do they got left Saturday then? A few.
Boy, so they still have the 108, right? The 108, the one, they kept the 177. And then do they still have the 230 and the 232? Mm-hmm. I think I got that right. They traded the 157, the 167, and the 129. So.
Rick Spielman's been not hospitalized, but he's been sent to his bedroom. He's got a big cold washcloth across his head. He just can't believe that they would pass up the opportunity.
Rick, do you need water? No, I need 7th rounders.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, it's they've had a I was at the. I was at a movie. I went to the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which is Gus Ritchie's latest movie, Guy Ritchie's latest movie. And it's about a true story, or it's kind of a cartoonish version of it. It's a true World War II story, but they got the guy, you know, the big guy who plays Reacher on TV? the big in the series, the Reacher series. Have you seen that guy?
No.
Well, he's one of the four guy, the four Brits who's out there killing Nazis in Sweden or Norway. No, down in actually South America. Not South America, Africa. Okay. And but he's doing it with a bow and arrow from like 200 yards away, and he's got like a gym shirt on, but you don't know where he's getting the arrows from. But he's getting the next arrow and he's shooting them, and so it's not exactly a documentary, but it's based on. So anyway, I looked out of my phone a couple of times during. I knew they already had gotten, what they'd done for the quarterback, and I looked out of my phone. I said, "Hey, got that guy. He's the only. He's one of the five guys who played college football last year that I noticed."
It's great, and I think at first people were very, the vibe in the Fillmore, and we were just kind of checking comments and social media. When the Patriots stuck with their pick at three and it was Drake May, people were, because a lot of fans wanted Drake May. But if you're going back and kind of reevaluating, would you rather have given up? And it sounds like the Patriots just rejected all offers, that they had a bunch of big offers. But would you rather have given up the 11-23 next year's first round pick and maybe something else for Drake May, or don't give up all of those things and take J.J. McCarthy and get Dallas Turner and keep your,
yes.
If you compare the two scenarios, I think it's a no brainer.
It's a layup. And, if you want to do this again next year, you can, I wonder what, so Harbaugh's in with, they're going to stick with their guy then.
Well, did you see the report though?
What?
So the report that came out as the draft started was that the New England Patriots and Vikings had called the Chargers on Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were trade talks. And so they did try, and because I think the theory was, hey, you take McCarthy at five, and Justin Herbert, I could see him saying, why would I want to play in an offense where you guys run the ball? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not really his offense. So like that was one of the, it got buried eventually by all the moves, but that was probably one of the more interesting reports of the entire night, is that indeed, because everyone's like, that's ridiculous, that'll never happen, that's the stupidest thing you guys have ever talked about, turned out to be true. They at least called.
Yeah, but if you go back, I love that guy. I mean, he's not Kirk Cousins. First of all, he's young, and second of all, he's good. But, but you're back in salary cap hell forever again. If you go get him, you're back in, you're not going to be able to do you're not going to be able to do much. So they've had a great offseason. It's incredible. I think I was, I saw Kwesi out there directly answering those questions a couple of years ago, and I said, boy, this guy's going to be a wonderful general manager. No, I did not think that. But
his first draft was such a disaster.
Yes.
He kind of dug a hole. And then, of course, I don't know if you saw, Diana Rossini put out a couple of days ago from The Athletic that she had a list of five NFL GMs that could potentially be on the hot seat. And she said Kwesi was the one that needed a big draft more than anyone in the NFL, from what she was hearing.
They weren't going to run him out of here after 2 years. Do you think? Really? I don't think so.
2 years would have been pretty shocking.
Yeah.
It's only a 4-year contract though. So it wouldn't have been impossible, but I mean, look at how far he's come. Three years ago, his first draft, right? He trades from, 14 to 32. He takes a guy who's a bust, but, I mean, just that
safety.
Just that trade, Pat, raised eyebrows. Last year he stands pat and gets a good player, and now he's moved up twice.
Yes. So why did he trade down the first year? Did he want to be did he want to emulate Rick Spielman or something?
No, I think he wanted – because he talked last night. He was basically asked about being aggressive and – trading up, and he said sometimes you have to take your Clark Kent glasses off and basically say what the F. I think what he learned is if you go by those charts and if you make the analytics community happy in the draft,
a lot of times
your owners, because if you look at what they got last night, right? Like if they're right about this, you think we're gonna be sweating the loss of draft picks? We don't give a damn.
No, plus, I always said about Spielman loading up on the sixth and seventh. Ugh. Those are undrafted free agents that you just decided to draft. It's the same players. But they were actually cheaper than drafting the undrafted free agents, by the way. And you know what's going to be interesting? How many late-round guys with potential to be late-round draft choices are going to not are going to be staying in college because they're going to make more money? That's, you know, that's what I wonder. How many going to say, you know, they got me projected as a sixth, seventh rounder. I'm making $400,000 here. Why do I want to go to the NFL?
You know? Yeah, no, it's,
Anyway.
So, hey, before we put a bow on this here, why don't you tell these new Vikings draft picks, if they're in the market for a car here in the Twin Cities, where should they go?
You know what you need, J.J. McCarthy? You need a Hummer EV from Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM dealers. They got them at good interest rates. Factory rebates. They have everything out there now at Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM dealers. Stock is full. We're ready to go. We got all the big, you know, the heavy-duty trucks, the Yukons, all the things that were hard to get a couple of years ago in the pandemic are back. They're out there. They're Jim Paul and Brett Paul are ready to make deals and have low interest rates. And they tell me that the car business is back after the 2 or 3 year slump. So you can go to Apple Valley where I go and I've got my last 6, 7 cars, or you can go to Hastings where they also have a fine fleet of new vehicles to sell you. But Jim Paul, Brett Paul, Valley Group of GM dealers, they're my guys. I've seen interest rates at 0.9%, 1.9%. Man alive, Apple Valley and Hastings, the Valley Group of car dealers.
Thank you. One more thing. I don't know if you kept tabs on the wrestling world this week, but this is something I think that will make you chuckle. So we've talked to you about this AEW. It's like the second level behind WWE, right? The owner of AEW is Tony Khan. He is Shad Khan's son, the guy that owns. Okay. So the Khan family owns the Jaguars.
Jacksonville, right? Yeah.
Yep. And so Tony Khan is very much involved with the Jaguars, and he runs and writes AEW. He's an on-screen guy. So they ran an angle on Wednesday night on AEW Dynamite where the bad guy faction turned on the owner of the company and delivered a devastating beatdown to Tony Khan in the middle of the ring on TBS. They gave him a pile driver. You know, they had medical attention. And the episode ended with, oh, my God, they just beat up the owner of the company.
Yes. So we done that before? Didn't we do that with Vince?
Vince has taken a bunch of beatings, yeah. But to keep the storyline fresh and legitimate, he was in the Jacksonville Jaguars war room with a neck brace on throughout the entire night last night.
Yeah, that's great. I bet the NFL
neck brace.
I bet the NFL loved they brought pro wrestling to the NFL. Man, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, one more thing. How about those Red Hot Twins?
Let's go.
The 5 home runs yesterday. 5.
Yeah.
5.
Julian's got 7 already.
Mm-hmm. That wind must have been howling to left field because who hit the first one to left field? It looked like it was a nice little pop fly out there. It just kept blowing.
Carlos Santana hit a home run.
Yeah, oh, that's
Santana
right.
A home run.
Right after I ripped him. Mm-hmm. Right after I said on Twitter, now I know why the Twins signed Carlos Santana. He's really good at catching pop-ups. So I had to kind of jack him up, and then he hit a wind aid. No, that his wasn't actually wind aided. His was the right field, right?
Yeah. Rocco was joking with me at the beginning of the series because I asked why they moved Eddie down to the two-hole, and he used this term of putting him in a blender and shaking him up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the 4 games against the White Sox, Edward Julian's OPS rose by over 140 points.
Mm.
Yeah. So he took care of the White Sox pitching no problem over the series.
Yeah, well, the Whiteys are, let's face it, it's there's probably going to be tickets available at Guaranteed Rate Park here next week when the Twins come to town, right?
I think that's safe to say.
3-20. How about Houston? 6-20. Wow.
It's over.
That might be more surprising.
Oh, yes. Dusty read the room and said, that's enough. Thank you. Brilliant. He was very good. All right, gents.
All right, Pat. Enjoy your weekend, sir. We'll get Pat's full 7-round breakdown on Monday on Royce.
Already hit a home run, baby, with Turner. He's a monster.
Yep. See ya. All right, see you, Pat. All right, that's Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold.